This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I've got probably one of my favorite people in the whole world coming on right after I talk to this first jerk that's going to be on for about 30 minutes. Anyway, welcome to the show, Josh Haycock. You thought I was going to give you a compliment? Hell no!
I was going to say, do you need to borrow money again?
You know what? Don't start with me. There's enough political stuff we disagree with that we could have a fight through the phone. Anyway, but that's all right. We love each other. Even though we disagree on everything politically, we love each other till we get something that we can throw at the other guy in our hand.
Well, I believe we disagree on automobiles quite a bit as well, which is what makes this interesting.
Well, because I told you the Yugo was no good from the get-go, yet you still drive one. I don't even know what you're doing.
And yet you still bought one for your wife. Don't tell me.
There's a reason for that. Shut up. Oh, gosh. There's a loose brake line, too. I'm joking. I love my wife.
All right.
So, I understand I had to miss the Motor Press Guild drive day to benefit one of our colleagues, a journalist that was hit by a drunk driver. I don't know the gentleman, but I've watched all the flotsam and jetsam floating through the social media news, you know, within our group. They've evidently raised some money. They've done some good things and brought awareness around about drinking and driving, which today the new drinking and driving is texting and driving. And so now it's even worse because you got people that are drunk and they're trying to text, "Hey, where are you going to the next bar?" You know, so it's even worse.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And we hear more about it. Actually, we would illuminate more of these cases where people are minding their own business and they're driving down the road and they get hit by a drunk driver. I mean, that's when you really, really become concerned and think about yourself for once. I mean, this idea that a drunk can cross the line coming at you is probably the scariest thing for me.
Well, you know, here is why I drive so, so carefully every inch of the way, because I'm not as concerned about, you know, something I'm going to do, clearly, because I'm not, you know, that's how we are, selfish pigs anyway. But I'm more worried about what the other guy, the mistake the other guy or gal or somebody who I'm driving on the other side is going to do and come across. And it's happened to me. Let me just tell you a quick story. I was with a colleague of ours in the Mini Cooper. I was in Ireland in the year 2001. When the 2002 Mini Cooper was returning. So, we have the Mini Cooper. It's been out for a long time now. But when it was just returning, they said, "Hey, come do the Mizzen to Mallon, Ireland Mini Cooper drive, right? And we're going to follow all the original Mini Coopers from one side of Ireland to the other." And it was a fun drive. And I landed in the town of Cork. And, you know, not landed, because actually I took a boat from Fishhead over on the England side.
This is the short version.
Yeah, this is a short version, but it's kind of funny.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, so I'm now, you know how you get when you're in a new land and you're all goo-goo-eyed and you're looking at this and you're looking at that? I was a tourist, right? And I'm telling you, how many times have you, you know, got behind a tourist that's going slow and they're going, "Oh, look at that house. Oh, look at that. Look at the plants. Look at the wool." And you're like, "Come on." And it's like, you know, the tourist. So I was a tourist and I was the idiot. And I almost ran head on because they also drive on the wrong side of the road over there, which is the right side to them. But in that moment, I was on the wrong side of the road. And so I know what it feels like to be that idiot for a few minutes. But when I'm driving, and everybody should do the exact same thing, you got to stay alert, people. We've all got to stay alert, because somebody else's life. We're driving a battle axe down the road, and you can kill somebody with it. I know this is the exact point you wanted to make, Josh, so I made it for you. I hate tourists, and I hate being a tourist. So you know what I do now? I walk. Then if I run into somebody, it's like, oh, sorry, Mac. We'll take a little break, come back with more of Josh Hancock. He's the Hollywood car consultant, the guy that matches the car with the character in all things film and television over there in Hollywood. La La Land. You're listening to The Drive.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
I need somebody, help, not just anybody, help, you know I need someone.
You know what I need someone to do is help me straighten out Josh Hancock. He gets off subject, off topic. It's a car show, everybody.
Oh,
car show.
Oh, excuse me.
We're talking
after
cars.
After your short story.
I outed myself.
Into an after-lunch situation or an after-dinner, depending on where you are. You know, these little stories, I've heard them through the years. And if you did a compilation, it would be, oh, my gosh, how many days would it be? I don't know. Anyway, back
lots,
to cars.
Lots, yes. By the way, BJ Colleen coming on next. She texted me to tell Josh hi. So I did that. That's all I got.
Well, we had a lot of fun at the MPG event. It was great to see her. I haven't seen her in a while. We drove a few vehicles together, and we called you just to make you feel bad, but you wouldn't have it. You were not in a good mood, and you just hung up on us.
Yep.
So let's just clear that up.
That's right. That's how I do it.
Yeah. I drove the Explorer ST with 400 horsepower.
Yep.
And, of course, we were on the curvy roads of Malibu. I have to say I was extremely impressed.
Did you run into any of the transients that are now parking all over Malibu because they're getting shoved out of the downtown L.A. area and they're bringing their feces and their droppings and their black plague to Malibu? Did you run in? Did you see any of that?
Wow.
Did you see any of that?
Wow. Let's just go there.
It was on the news this morning. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
But you had 400 horsepower to get. So you downshifted and you got right around those transients. Oh, go ahead. Keep going.
We're actually going to send them to Oregon.
Okay. Oh, that's why I live here.
I know. I pulled up a little trivia for you.
Yeah.
And it's about different states and what the largest selling vehicles are.
Yep.
Do you know what the largest selling vehicle in Oregon is?
In Oregon? What, are we picking on my state now? Huh?
I'm not picking on it, and I don't have to.
Okay.
Because, you know.
All right. I would guess the Subaru would be a Subaru.
Okay.
Or a
I'll
truck.
I'll give you something else. This is interesting. That vehicle, which is not a Subaru, that is the largest selling vehicle in Oregon, is also the largest selling vehicle in Arizona, Montana, and Nevada.
Trash trucks. The GMC trash truck. You know, the one that picks up the trash can and dumps it in there.
Okay.
They've got a new attachment for the transients.
I'd like you to make another guess.
By the way, they've got a new attachment that's a big claw that grabs the transients around the waist and dumps them right into the dumpster and takes them to the next state over. It's fantastic.
Okay. That's what we're sending up to you. Yeah. So what do you think? What is
Ford F-150?
The largest selling vehicle, Arizona, Montana, Nevada, and Oregon.
Ford F-150.
That is the second incorrect guess. You only get one more, and then we're going to take away something from
your life. Hold on. Let me close my eyes, squint my face. Hold on. I don't know.
Oh, come on. Make another guess.
A Cadillac Escalade. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, really? How many Escalades do you see in Oregon every day, huh?
My brother has one. Go ahead.
It is it is a Ram pickup.
No, really? I drive a Ram truck. How funny is that? Well, there you go.
Yeah, well, okay. Pretty hysterical that you couldn't think of it and you drive one.
I didn't know that I was such a trendy guy and a leader in the industry.
Oh, well, you're not, but you do drive a Ram.
Did you see the picture?
It's really hard for me.
By the way, did you see the picture I posted of the log truck? And if you would have looked, there was the dash of my Ram, one-ton dually, crew cab, diesel. And the one comment, you could see the dash, and I had been looking at the tire pressure monitor system because I had low air pressure in one of my tires. And in my dash, in the center section of the dash, of the speedometer itself, the tachometer in the center section, it had the air pressure left and right front, and then it had four rear air pressures. I got more comments. I said, this is something you'll never see in LA. And it was the back of a log truck full of logs. And I got more comments on the tire pressure monitoring system because they're like, what are you driving? What is that? What has, you know, are you driving a dually?
Oh, because of the dually.
Yeah. So.
What, where did you post that?
On Facebook, on my personal Facebook page, of which you have been locked out years ago.
I will have to look for it now, because I blocked you out, but I'll go in and have a look at that.
All right, no, hold it. You wasted way too much time in that segment on blathering about
nothing. Oh, my God, we're getting nothing done.
I bring you on the show to talk about cars as an intelligent man. And that was my problem right there. Don't worry. There's only one more segment before an intelligent person. We'll come back with more of Josh. One more chance, Josh. One more. Then I saw her face.
Now I'm a believer. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Well, you're listening to The Drive, and our show is brought to you in part by the rough and ready lineup of Kia SUVs. Kia, give it everything. And Josh Hancock is here talking to us about the Motor Press Guild event here recently, and Josh asked me to stop degrading him publicly, and I said, no way! That's what it's all about.
I don't know. It's in the lawyer's hands.
I know. Let's just leave it at that. That lawyer of yours has a bagel shop. Come on.
I do try to give you little nuggets from Hollywood. I know everybody in your world hates Hollywood, but there are some people that like the shiny key.
Yeah.
I want to say that Netflix has developed a scripted comedy series about a NASCAR crew chief. And it's going to be starring Kevin James.
Oh, you're kidding me. Kevin James, the kind of fat and funny guy? Yep.
Yeah, he's about your size.
He's from
Kevin Can Wait. And this is his new project. It turns out that he grew up in NASCAR country.
Right.
And so he has a connection to it. But I just think it's really interesting that Netflix is going and we're going to see a scripted show based around a NASCAR crew chief, which I think could be really interesting to a lot of people because they have no idea what it takes to make these teams tick.
Yeah. I have a new show that I want to do because I'm you know, kind of dealing with elderly parents and I have some caregivers. And my God, you know the soup Nazi from Seinfeld, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you what, man. I got this lady that's working for me right now that's helping with my parents, and, man, she doesn't let anybody get away with anything. It should be a television show. I'm serious. It really should. So I can't wait. Is there a name for that? By the way?
It's exactly why I live here and you live in Oregon. Okay? All right.
What's the name of the show?
It is unnamed at this point.
Okay, so you're giving this is a scoop.
DVD, but,
okay, a scoop.
But, it, you know, I think it's kind of fun that we're going to have this. Now, Netflix also has made a show. I don't know if we've talked about this. It's called Hyperdrive. And there are a number. There are either 10 or 13 episodes of Hyperdrive, which is competitors from around the world bring their own cars to a track that is set up with challenges from water, and it's a lot of drifting, and it is this amazing challenge. And I have to say, I got hooked on Hyperdrive.
Yeah, Charlize Theron, one of the producers of it, and what's the guy with the beard that used to be on Top Gear America? Can't think of his name. It's killing me. I had him on the show. We talked about it. Anyway, he's one of the guys. That's, here's the weird part about this show. Nobody is doing it for money. Did you know that?
Right.
There's no grand prize. The prize is, you know, like American Idol or whatever, you get $1 million, right? The prize is bragging rights. And you bring your own car and you destroy your own car, probably. And you don't get anything. I mean, imagine they have to be paid like scale for being actors or involved in a production like that. But it has no near a compared value to a $1 million prize or something. It may be $20,000-$30,000 for doing it, but then you're going to blow your $50,000 or $100,000 car in the process. So I personally think it takes people that are lunatic, fringe, crazy to do this stuff. It's kind of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles meets one of those shows where they're like climbing the bars and all that. What's that called? Ninja Warriors, whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, but it's all cars. And so I have only seen a chunk of one episode. It just came out. Rutledge Wood, sorry, that's his name. It just came out. Mr. Snerdly told me that, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. You know, they built this crazy
it's
big city.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's cool. So
kind of fun. It's well produced because it moves along.
Yep.
You know, we all know that Kevin Hart, for his 40th birthday, got a Barracuda.
Right.
Was it a Barracuda or a Challenger?
I think it was a Cuda, and wrecked it.
Cuda, right. And, well, he wasn't driving, but there was actually a Hellcat motor in it.
Oh.
The thing was really nice. I'm sure he spent quite a bit of money. He was a passenger in it, and they had a mishap and rolled over. But unfortunately, and this is where you're going to pounce on the state of California, some other customizer came forward and said, well, this car should have had four-point belts, because every time we modify a car like this, we put in four-point belts.
Oh, it's BS.
And so they say, I can't understand why this car didn't have four-point belts. Well, in fact, the car was never made with four-point belts, and it isn't a requirement,
right. And
it's up to you. You got to have a seatbelt, yes, but as long as you have the seatbelt that was required at the time, I say that's the way it is.
All right, let me ask
so
you something.
So now they are
is Kevin Hart? Is,
they're clamoring for regulation.
Ah, it's BS, ain't going to happen. But is Hart okay? Is Kevin Hart okay?
Kevin Hart's fine, as
okay.
we know.
Yeah.
And everybody was fine. You don't use the opportunity to go out and ask for regulation on custom cars just because
Hollywood does.
It's in poor taste, I think.
It is. I'm just glad Kevin Hart's okay. Sad he was involved.
But wait. I need BJ.
Yeah,
I need her help.
She's coming up next, Josh. Thank
right.
you, Josh.
Well, tell her I'll Morse code her while she's on.
Okay. Coming up next, we're going to talk to BJ Killeen. And thanks to Josh Hancock. You can find him at joshcar.com. He is an automotive expert, and he works in Hollywood in the movie industry. The man that matches the car with the character in all things television, Josh Hancock. Thank you, Josh.
Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off your purchase. Roll out in the Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger or tear up the streets in a Durango. Hurry in to your local Dodge dealer now and save. See dealer for details. Offer not available on vehicle leases. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 9/30/19. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us all around the world because of the interweb thing that nobody really knows what's going on there, but you can find our show there. BJ Colleen joining us right now, my pal, all the way from the desert, the high desert in Las Vegas or Henderson or wherever she is. Hi, BJ.
Hey, Alan. How are you today?
How's the weather out there?
It's just like perfect. It's going to be 93 for the high, but it's just been absolutely lovely, except for a little windy.
You know what? I guess fall is here now. I love this time. I love spring and fall, and I pretty much like summer, and I like winter, so I'm set, right? But I mean, I guess I just love life so much that every time we get these changes, and I know, you know, in the desert, you don't have nearly the kind of changes we have where there's trees and you can start to see it. But I just love how this world works, you know?
It is amazing. But we do get a lot of changes here. I mean, we get snow in February, and we get the wind start to kick up, and it gets pretty cold here, so a lot more than it was when I was in Southern California. So I kind of like it, too.
The only thing that screws up this whole world are people.
Oh, agreed. Totally agreed. I know. It'd be a great place without people.
All the cars would be for us.
Who'd be making them, though? That's the problem.
Oh, well, robots, of course. Anyway. So what have you been driving lately? Because, you know, I was thinking about this show the other day, and I had to make a promo for a new radio station that we got. And I said, the announcer says, you know, real world test drives. And I thought, you know, it's really true because we live in these cars for like a week, sometimes a little shorter and sometimes a little longer, depending on what we're doing. But and in a week, you really do get a good feel for a machine, whether you like it, love it, or like, you know, I can just live without it kind of thing. So what are you driving?
And I agree with you. That's a very valid statement. The only thing I tell people, you know, because a lot of people go out and here's a little test drive tip, you know, where they test drive vehicles back to back. But what I do when I get a new press car is I don't comment on it the day after because I could be getting out of a sports car and then getting into an electric vehicle. So you can't go, well, this isn't like that car. So you kind of have to realize how you're going to test drive a vehicle when you go out to buy one and what you're looking for and how they're going to react. So
well, you know, I've used this one before. I'm going to use it again. When that happens and you get out of a, you know, an Aston Martin and into some little SUV, that's Einstein said, it's like judging a fish's ability to climb a tree, right?
Yes.
So there you go.
So good point. So, but I was driving the Hyundai Kona. And the Kona is a great vehicle because you and I actually went on the press event when they first introduced
sure
it.
Did.
We went to
fun.
Kona, Hawaii. Of course, where else would you do that?
Right.
So it's been a while since we had a chance to drive the Kona, so I wanted to get back into it and drive it on the streets of Las Vegas instead of the beautiful, lovely Hawaii. And although I would go back there again and do that if
I'm
could.
I'm ready.
But
let's go.
Yeah, I'm ready. If you're paying, if you're buying, I'm flying,
there you go, right.
As they say. So I drove the Hyundai Kona, and for those that don't know, the Kona is one of those little CUVs or crossover utility vehicles. We call them cute utes because that's what they are, cute utility vehicles. And the Kona, the one I had, was the ultimate front-wheel drive, and which is pretty much the top-of-the-line one. And but what's nice is the Konas start around $20,000. There's five different trim levels, starting with the SE and going up to the Ultimate, which is what I have.
Right.
And that one, even with everything totaled out, was about $28,600. So it really isn't, you know, a bad price for everything that you get on this vehicle. And you do get a lot of features on this vehicle. First of all, you get great fuel economy. So you get around 30 combined. We saw real close to that. And again, we're not light-footed. We're, you know, pretty heavy on the pedals.
Right.
So that's great fuel economy when you're driving around town. If you want even better fuel economy, the Hyundai Kona actually comes in an EV iteration, but that price is going to be a little bit higher. It starts around 36 and goes up to 44,000 for the Ultimate. So, but if you're looking for the Ultimate in fuel economy, that's definitely a place to go. So the Hyundai Kona has a great little powertrain. It's a 1.6-liter turbocharged direct injection four-cylinder. Makes 175 horsepower and 195 pound-feet of torque, which is pretty good. You know, it's made it to a 7-speed EcoShift, what they call EcoShift dual-clutch transmission, which shifts very fast, very quick. So it's a great little vehicle. It's very fast. You know, just touch the throttle and it takes off. So it's fun to drive. You know, it's the right size, maybe a little small, you know, if you want to step up a little bit more room. But if you're a single person, you don't have a big family, and, you know, sometimes you like to take your friends around, but you're moving cargo or you're doing active things.
Right.
It really is a great little vehicle for that.
I remember we were driving around the island there, you know, Kona and all around the whole island, the big island of Hawaii. And I went to go pass somebody. I said, I wonder how this thing passes. You know me, I want to have horsepower.
Yeah.
And as I remember, it had plenty of get up and go. Even though when you say, you know, 175 horsepower,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound like much, but, you know, these are lightweight vehicles, and it had plenty of horsepower. I remember still that it had a really kind of nice interior, the dash, and how when you're sitting there and you're kind of just scanning back and forth, like, do I like this, or does it make me feel like I want to throw up in my mouth? You know, because there are some of them that are like that. They're just so ugly inside. But I remember this one I really liked, and I feel like this machine, you call it a cute ute, is cute on the inside and the outside, and kind of delivers, you know, on all cylinders, I guess you can say. It's funny, and you talked about, is it all electric, the version?
Not this one, but there is an all-electric version if you want.
Okay, so they make an all-electric, an EV. Electric vehicle. And I was behind an electric Chevrolet Spark the other day. On the back window, it said, look, Mom, no gas. And I thought that was so funny. The guy's so proud of his electric car. And it's fine. If you're just running around town, it's fine. But I'm a long distance guy. I know you are too.
Yeah.
To me, electric car would be like, you know, just my around town car. Our buddy Carl Brower from Kelley Blue Book has that Fiat 500e that they're not going to make any. They're stopping making that.
Yeah.
And but he's like, he bought it. Some deal's like $49 a month. How do you not buy that, right? They're literally giving them away.
As long as you have other vehicles.
You can't even get an Apple Watch that cheap. You know what I mean? It's like a whole car.
He could drive his GT around if he wants to go out. And he's really got the range, doesn't he, from the GT to the EV. So.
Yeah, right.
I'm actually, this week I've got a Toyota RAV4 Hybrid, so I'm just got that one, so I'll be reviewing that in a little bit. But EVs are kind of cool in a hybrid mode where you don't have to worry if you run out of EV power. But back to the Hyundai. Again, it's really got some great features. You know, and nowadays everybody's got some great safety features. It's got their smart sense, which is their lane keeping and their blind spot system and everything else. Because this one's the top of the line, it's got 18-inch wheels and tires. You know, it's got a head-up display and wireless phone charging. I mean, it really is state-of-the-art for a vehicle that's under $30,000. It's comfortable. The only comments that I had, little nitpicks, The passenger seat is not power. And for some reason, they pretty much sit that thing on the ground.
Yeah.
So when I'm in the passenger seat and I'm looking, I barely could see over the dash. I mean, That's really funny. That bad. I want to be able to pump it up or something, and I couldn't even do that in this seat.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I have complained about this many times to Kia and to Hyundai because they're one of the worst when it comes to that. And Kia's been fixing that. They've been improving the seats, and they've been doing it. So it's time for Hyundai to step up and do that. The other one, and I think this is probably something that can be adjusted, maybe it's just a test vehicle, but the brakes took a lot of effort to apply. And, you know, nowadays, it usually doesn't. You just touch them and they're grabbing. But this one was just like, okay, are these manual brakes? Because they're pushing kind of hard on it. So
right.
That's the only thing that, you know, my little nitpicks. But, I mean, it's a great vehicle. Right now, actually, I think if you go test drive a Hyundai, they're going to give you a $50 Visa card.
Mm.
And the other plus about Hyundai before we go to break is they do something called Hope on Wheels. And everybody that drives a Hyundai or buys a Hyundai, they make a donation for pediatric cancer. And they've already donated over $160 million. So nothing like feeling good when you're buying a car.
Good Lord. Well, hats off to Hyundai for doing that.
Yeah.
The cute ute, as she calls it, the Hyundai Kona. Go test drive one if you're looking for something like this. They also have that 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Can't beat that. Hang tight. We'll be right back with more BJ Colleen. Stay with us. You don't have to wear that dress tonight. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind?
Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, all across America. Our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Thanks to Subaru. Brand new 2020 Outback. BJ Colleen joining us right now. We're talking cars, trucks, and cute SUVs. And BJ Colleen, automotive expert and journalist for many, many years. And we became friends a long time ago. And she made me laugh, and I said, hey, you need to come on the radio with me. And it's been a couple of decades almost or something.
It has.
Doggone, time flies.
I know. We made each other laugh. It's entertaining.
That is true. Together, I used to look forward to seeing you. I go, where's that lady? Where is that? Oh, there she is.
We hang out at auto shows. Everybody else is questionable, so right. We know we can trust each other.
Well, that's it. And then there's the people who are like, oh, look at that jerk over
I know.
There. Let's go trip him. Here, I'll get down on the ground. You push him over.
We're anyway. Airbags, aren't we?
Speaking of airbags, didn't you have something to talk about?
Yeah, you like that segue?
Windbags.
Speaking of airbags.
Right.
You know, airbags are interesting because right now, what are there, like 10 airbags in a vehicle?
Yeah. Some of the
kids have 10 airbags. So I always tell people that you'll die of suffocation before you die in a crash because all the airbags right. going off at once. But, you know, think about a car, Alan. I'm going to give you a quick test. Where else could you put an airbag?
In the back seat. No, that's a windbag. I'm sorry. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. No, the windbags go in the back seat. Actually, Ford has an airbag for the back seat passengers. It's in the seat belt. But
yeah.
Hyundai said, hey, there's a place where we need an airbag, and there isn't one now. And that's the spot between the driver and the passenger. Because, you know, sometimes you get hit from the side.
Oh,
you're going to bang your head into
right.
the other person's head, right?
Yeah, right.
Because you got airbags off to the outside, to the outboard areas, but nothing in the middle. So if you bang to the side and then you knock your noggins together, you're going to do some damage to your skull. So
right.
Hyundai has developed a side impact airbag that fills in the center console.
Oh my gosh.
It's deployed from the driver's seat. It covers the whole torso and head and features tethers to make sure it stays in the right position. So it's all about protecting the driver and front passenger from banging their heads together. And they said it actually should reduce the chance of a head injury in some situations by about 80%. So it's kind of cool. And even if there isn't a front passenger, it's still going to inflate to help protect the driver in case something happens or something comes flying out there. So Now this is going to be in future Hyundais. It won't be like, you know, you won't find it in the showroom floor right now, but
right.
it's kind of cool that they're thinking ahead because it's true. I mean, you watch these horrible videos of collisions and you see people smacking into each other all the time. And
right.
as fragile as our little pea brains are, you know, it does a lot of damage when you're moving your brain around in your noggin. So,
you know,
good
for them. Yeah, it's a serious thing, you know, people smacking into each other, and because a friend of mine got into a crash, and it was what they call it, you know, a T-bone. Somebody hit the side of him really hard, and the person that was in the passenger seat, their pelvis got broken, but then they smashed into the person in the driver's seat because the car was, you know, hit them right at that low point where it's kind of the middle of the door. There's a bar there to protect, but a little bar in a flimsy door is not going to keep a car from smashing through. But the person in the driver's seat broke their right leg from the body of the other person smacking into them. So that
yeah.
tells you how much force, right?
Yeah.
So, and I don't know what happened, you know, in the upper part. I'm sure things happened there too, but I was like, how could that happen? But there is so much force going on. Imagine being in the airbag business for a minute. Think about that. I mean, you're in the pyrotechnic business, exploding things, right? And keeping the explosion under control and making sure that it doesn't blow somebody's arm off. I wouldn't want to be in that business. It's crazy.
It's tough. And, you know, people don't think that, you know, things that if you've ever seen a crash or had a crash done in front of you. You know, I went to the Volvo Safety Center. I think you've been there in Sweden.
No, wait
too,
a minute. That's when we were in Sweden together at that, like in the year 2000.
That's right. So and they did that crash in front of us. That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
It's mind-boggling because the sound is incredible. But yeah. Imagine being inside the vehicle. And you got to think about all the physics that go into a crash because, you know, is it equal and opposite forces and all these kind of things? Right. So if you hit and you go one way, your body's coming back the other way, one way or the other. You know, it's not just going to stay there. So a body in motion remains in motion. It's amazing what you remember from high school. But the truth is, this is a really good idea. And I don't know if they're going to do it for second row because usually in the bench seats you don't have it. But if you have a big SUV where you have a center console, it might be a good idea to do also. So anything you can do to help protect people in an impact is going to be a big plus. What's going to be interesting, Alan, in the future, if we have autonomous vehicles and they're not getting in collisions with other cars, are we going to even still need airbags or what? That's a question. So.
Well, there you go. All I remember from high school, which was 41 years ago, is Miss Wickman. Yeah, I'm still here just thinking about Miss Wickman.
Over the years, automakers have spent a lot of time talking about the future. At Kia, they don't sit around dreaming of a better tomorrow because they already made it so that you can have it today. Introducing Kia's lineup of electrified Niro SUVs, the hybrid, the plug-in, and the electric, with an EPA estimated range of 239 miles. Because the future is just the future until we make something of it. Kia, give it everything. 239-mile EPA estimated range on a full charge. Actual range may vary. Niro EV is in select retailers and select markets with limited availability.
Still thinking about Mrs. Wickman. Not much of a girlfriend. I never yeah, you know what? When you're a young boy in junior high, I'm not thinking about that. Junior high, Southern California, Matilaha Junior High School. Miss Wickman, if you're out there, please call me. Please. There may be something there. Anyway, BJ Colleen is here. You notice how I didn't say a word through the commercial break. I was just sitting here quietly. Anyway, we're talking about cars and airbags and windbags and old teachers that you fell in love with when you were 14 years old. At least I'm talking about that. I actually had to have, just to finish off on the airbag thing, I had to have an airbag replaced in a Mercedes-Benz that I bought. Did I tell you I bought a couple of used Mercedes-Benz?
Recently?
Yeah. I'm trying not to buy a new car for my wife because we have to burn them when they're done. You have purification by fire because, you know, things that fall on the carpet. And then I'm sure there's the black plague in her carpet. And so I'm trying not to buy her a new Kia Telluride, which she's really wanting really bad, really, really bad. So I bought her a Mercedes ML350 and the airbag light was on. And I have a feeling that's why I got a good deal on it. And there was a recall on the airbag. It's one of those Takata airbags. Everybody's having to replace that. You know, company went out of business and all that. But Mercedes replaces the driver's airbag for free. So I took it in there, and man, the service was fantastic at the Mercedes dealer. But they wanted like $46,000 to do an oil change, and I was like, no, I can do that myself. Or I'll buy a new car.
Are you sure?
Just keep the oil and trade cars, you know.
That's
anyway,
cheaper.
It was amazing what they're doing, and they do charge you for all that, but they did not charge me a penny for the airbag, which was fantastic.
So well, they can't. It's under recall.
So. Right. And so my wife does not want this Mercedes. So I bought another one. Now I bought an R350, and these are Blue Tech diesels. I like diesel. Anyway, and this one has an airbag light on, too. And so the guy says, oh, yeah, I got a thing in the mail. They're going to replace the airbag for free. And I'm like, yeah. So because it was cheap again. So I think anytime there's a light on the dash with a Mercedes-Benz, people freak out and they're like, spider, ew, get away. You know, so I bought it. It was a good deal. I took it home. My wife's going, I do not want that one either. So now I have two black Mercedes. One's an SUV. One's like a station wagon, both diesels. And I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with them. So I went out the other day to buy another car and I did not buy it, but they had a canoe I bought. So I've been on this buying spree to try and buy anything. I'm hoping maybe if I give my wife this canoe when she comes back. She's in Vegas, you know. I told you that.
Yes.
You don't want to see her right now. She's not in a good mood because she hasn't got her new Kia Telluride. But I'm thinking a canoe. If I take her canoeing, maybe that will solve the problem. So
I don't think so.
Two-person canoe. I don't want to buy her a new car. She, you know. All right, I know I have to buy it sooner or later, but I'm having fun buying stuff. And,
well, I'd take that Mercedes off you, but I don't want a diesel either.
See, so. I love them. Now, can I ask you before the hour's over? You got like 2 minutes. Do you know anything about the strike that's going on with GM?
Yeah, they're striking.
I'm on strike a little bit at my house as well.
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is the second week into the strike, and you know, not only is it affecting the people at the in the plants, but you got to think it's affecting the people that ordered a car that aren't getting a car because it's not being built. The sales guys are not making money because the supplies are dwindling. You know, a strike really affects everybody, not just the people at the plant. And since this is the second week, they're run out of funds, so they're living on $250 a week in strike pay from the union. So, yeah. You know, it's this union stuff is really sticky. You know, I mean, are they getting enough compensation? The union obviously wants more. But GM says, hey, we're going into a downturn period, and how, you know, it's about can we stay in business or without laying people off, and they're already laying people off. It's ugly. It's an ugly situation, and, you know, I know they're fighting and doing the bargaining and everything else, but I'm glad I'm not a GM employee right now. That's all I have to say.
Well, you know, I was talking with Carl Brower from Kelley Blue Book, and he also is over dealer.com, so he gets to see what's going on, and that's how they get their numbers and stuff, and he's also over Auto Trader, so... Talk about the ability to use data to find out true and honest information. And we were talking about how the car industry was really doing well. And all of a sudden now it's kind of going, it's coughing a little bit. Yes. I just read something about Jaguar not having its best year, starting to, you know, its sales are way off. And so the, you know, luxury cars are suffering a little bit. It's going to be an interesting winter, I guess you might say. Uh-oh,
yep.
That's the wrong song. Hold on, I was going to play Earth, Wind, and Fire. What happened?
You got to play Earth, Wind, and Fire. But you're right, Honda's actually selling a lot of cars because nobody else is making cars.
That's not Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's Life in the Fast Lane. That changes my whole attitude. See how the music, it does everything. BJ Colleen, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
I wish the best for General Motors, and I hope you guys can figure out that strike as a car guy. I want the consumers to win. You guys figure it out, please. We'll take a little break here. Go get a cup of coffee, cigarette, think about Miss Wickman. We'll be right back. She held him up and
he held up for ransom. Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
The big news from Subaru is the three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The 3-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I can tell you that I am about to drive the new Dodge Charger wide body that sounds exactly like the car at the beginning of the show. Yes, this is The Drive. That's what we do. We drive cars, test cars, talk about cars with all sorts of journalists, but only the best from the best. Stephen Cole Smith, one of those automotive A-listers. Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports. You can find his writings in a lot of different places, but you can find his voice most only here. I'm hoping to say that that's the truth because I try to dissuade him from talking with other automotive radio shows, but I know that he cheats every now and then on me. It's wrong, Steve. It's wrong.
You're number one, man. You're number one.
So, first of all, our show is brought to you in part by Dodge, and I believe you and I are both going to be driving that new wide-body Charger Hellcat. I can't wait, personally.
Yeah, I cannot wait. We'll be at Sonoma Raceway. You know, anytime you sit down in a car where somebody else is paying for the racetrack, tires, and they give you 700 horsepower, as long as you don't wad it up, you're going to end up with thinking that was a pretty good day.
As long as you don't. I got to tell you, I know you're going to be doing something with the new Corvette as well coming up, the mid-engine one. Years ago, when I was on Sears Point Raceway, it was called Sears Point. Today it's called WeatherTech Raceway. God knows what it is, you know. That's a fantastic racetrack. I love it. Lots of twisties up the hill and around you. It's kind of like Laguna Seca has the, you know, the corkscrew and all that. It's kind of wild, but I really love Sears Point. I'm going to always call it Sears Point because I don't care.
Right.
You know, but
right.
I got a chance to drive a new Corvette. This must have been 2008 or 9, whenever the change was upgraded or whatever. They had it out there for media days for the Motor Press Guild, I believe it was, or the Northwest Auto Writers or whatever it was. Anyway, long story short, I thought I was a hot shoe. I thought I could drive. I could do this. I got it. So they asked me if I would take some executive that was there for a ride because I guess they thought I was also a hot shoe and they wanted to impress this person that the journalist actually can drive.
Right.
So they put this lady in the car and I said, "Do you vomit very easily?" And she says, "No, I can do this." And I'm like, "Well, just in case, you slap me on the shoulder if you have to vomit and I'll pull over real quick because I don't like the smell of vomit." So we laughed about that. And of course, you know, we pull off of the pits there and you go down a little ways and there's a real quick left hairpin turn and then you go into the twisties and around you go. And then on the other side, just before you come onto the straightaway again, there's a really sharp, again, left onto the straightaway. And I'm starting to show off now because I'm feeling pretty good. What do you think I did right there, right before we got onto the straightaway? I was going so fast.
Spun out and vomited.
No, but I took that corner too fast and spun out and almost hit the wall in front of everyone. But I would guess I came probably 3 inches from the wall before the car stopped. And what do you think the lady did? She slapped me on the arm like she was going to throw up. And I thought she was joking, but she wasn't because she was her hand on her mouth. And now she did not throw up. But I started laughing so hard because we were safe. The car stopped. We didn't hit the wall. But let me just tell you something. Test driving cars can be dangerous. Do as I say, not as I do. And so now I carry my own little vomit bags for people. You know how that works.
Oh, all the listeners would appreciate that too, I'm sure, if they had their own.
I have, by the way, with a Corvette again. I made the one of the principal owners of Good Hunting or something like that. I made him vomit twice.
Wow.
On one test drive. Yeah, that's my record so far. Okay. I've never hit 3.
Man.
We'll take a little
break. Your record's 3 during a show, I think.
Yeah, right, during a raid. Thank you.
It was a pretty bad show that day.
We'll take a little break. Come back. I know Steve's driven a very special car from Subaru. We'll take a break, come back, talk about that. It's The Drive. Don't go anywhere.
It's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America and around the world, and all the geriatric people that are listening, like my dad right now. Hi, Dad! 91 years old and still fighting, mostly with me. Our show brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Going right over to my dad's house after the show. Stephen Cole Smith is joining us. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I only feel 91. I'm not 91 yet.
Can you believe that? The guy hits a punching bag every day. He's out there punching that bag. I'm like, man. So I put his little gloves on the other day, and I went out there and punched it for a little while. My God, I've got like, you know, I've got like fat hands that are all puffy like marshmallows now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you drove a special Subaru. Thanks to Subaru for sponsoring our show. But, you know, you get to say whatever you want because you're the only guy that's driven this special car. I have never even heard about it. It's what is it?
An ST209. It's really interesting. I wasn't aware of it either. I was aware that there were some ST models like 206, 7, 8. But they were Japanese only, built by STI. And Subaru is really trying to turn their STI division into like AMG, like Mercedes has, and M, like BMW, and N, like Hyundai. So they built this car. They're making 209, whatever version it is, that's how many they make, and that's it. And for a change, all 209 are coming to America. And it's also like homologated, you know, with all the crash testing and all that stuff by STI, not by Subaru. So it's the first time they've ever done this on their own. And rather than just kind of call it a Subaru WRX STI that's got a few changes to it, this is a different car. And I tell you, man, it is a blast. I like the STI, but I'm not in that demographic. You know, the little 2-liter turbo is kind of peaky, and the suspension is kind of rough, and it's kind of loud, which is exactly the way the 21-year-old owner wants it. You know, they want to be able to have that sensory feedback. I don't so much. I just want to go fast. And yeah, believe it or not, this 341 horsepower Subaru, I tell you, man, it's smooth riding. We drove from a hotel up to Palmer Motorsports Park. And the hotel was great. Subaru always puts us up in great places, but this was built in 1903. You know, you had to walk up the stairs to the third floor. And, you know, I said, there's a Super 8 right up the road that has an elevator, right, brand new. If you can't afford to bring us to a new hotel
with an elevator,
I guess this one. I guess this one had a wine cellar. It used to have 25,000 bottles of wine worth of like 4 million, but it's I guess they let you and me in, so it's a lot less now. But great place. And this Palmer Motorsports Park, a little privately owned track, a regional track in Massachusetts, so much fun, just great time. They had Chris Atkinson from the Subaru Rallycross team. They'll be running this weekend, today and tomorrow, at COTA, Circuit of the Americas in Austin, and then next week they'll have the season finale in Mid-Ohio. But anyway, to get back to the car, fantastic Recaro seats, fantastic brakes, Sumitomo tires that Sumitomo told Subaru, says, we are going to be the tire company for this car. We'll do whatever you want us to do. And they came up with some fantastic tires that, you know, they hang on, and when they finally give up, they give you plenty of warning, and it's very gentle. I tell you, man, I don't know the last time I felt that comfortable in a brand-new car at a brand-new track that I was able to go out and like, second lap, I'm going as fast as I did eight laps later, and I love the car.
Well, it's interesting.
No price yet, but I'm guessing $60,000, making the most expensive Subaru.
Well, again, there's only going to be 209 of them. If you look at what happened with Dodge with the Demon, they made 3,300, and I sold mine for over $100,000.
Right. You know, well, the problem with Subaru has is that they've got 209 cars, and they have 600 plus dealers.
Right. Well,
so who's going to get the car? So there's going to be the ordering bank is not open yet. It will be very shortly. The car should be up and running around November, but between now and then, if you want to get your name in. And I would love to have this car. I mean, it's a four-passenger car that's big and comfortable, but just a fantastic track day car. You know, you could do a whole lot worse than this Subaru.
Okay, it's called the Subaru ST209. Is that what it's called?
Right, yeah. It's a WRX STI, which is how we've known the top-level Subaru you know, a little four banger with the turbocharger and,
right, you know,
the little Japanese pocket rocket. But yeah, this one, you just call it the 209, and the Subaru aficionados are going to know what you're talking about.
That is awesome. 341 horsepower, power to weight ratio must be phenomenal. Their symmetrical all wheel drive is fantastic. Limited edition. Hats off to Subaru. I love these little limited edition vehicles.
Yeah, that power-to-weight ratio was good until I got in it.
Right, dig tight. Stephen Cole Smith's going to give us a motorsports report when we come back. It is The Drive.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Yeah!
All across America and around the world, this is The Drive. We test drive cars, trucks, SUVs, motorcycles, boats, spacecraft, and each other just a little bit. I'm Alan Taylor. Stephen Cole Smith joining us, sitting in a parking lot. He said he's fully dilated. I'm not sure what that means. What does that mean, Steve?
Well, I still feel like a young man. I mean, I know that was chicken foot, and I'll be 66 tomorrow. So I don't know if that's good or just sad.
First of all, happy birthday, but why are you dilated? What does that mean, you're fully dilated?
Oh, I just, when you get on Medicare, and I can't not believe I'm saying that, they want an annual eye inspection. So I went in and got it. I've got, you know, kind of mild diabetes.
Oh.
So, you know, they want to check and see if there's any diabetic damage. And stunningly, there isn't, so I just got to keep doing what I'm doing.
I thought either you were going to...
They dilated my pupils and gave me some of those little plastic sunglasses that you always feel sorry for people who are wearing them because old people like me think, hey, these are pretty cool, and just keep wearing them for months.
All right. I thought either you had to go to the bathroom or you're going to have a baby. I wasn't sure what you meant.
No, it's later this afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, give me 5 minutes on what's going on in the world of motorsports.
Well, last weekend we had the IndyCar finale, so no one's surprised Joseph Newgarden took that. And it's, you know, we're looking at a pretty good season for IndyCar. TV ratings are pretty good. I think they've got some momentum. Going into next year, we're going to have a couple of new drivers, a couple of new teams, I think, or at least different organizations. The guy that won the race, though, was Colton Herta, the 18-year-old son of Brian Herta, who, you know, has owned two IndyCar teams that have won the Indy 500 and famous, if you remember, for the pass that Alex Zanardi put on him at Laguna, which was where the finale was years ago, where Alex Zanardi just completely cut a corner and cut across Herta and won the race. And it's something he still lives with.
But, right.
His son, man, 3 wins at 18 years old.
Wow.
Good for him, and look for him next year. He's going to be big.
Also, I see something going on. Ford is letting some riders drive an actual Ganassi IMSA Ford GT at Virginia International Raceway. Are you one of those lucky guys?
No, I wasn't. That happened Wednesday, and I'm the lucky guy that was there the second day because I had to do the Subaru trip. So we hired Tommy Kendall, the race car driver, to do it.
Oh.
And I showed up the second day. The first day was to drive the cars on the simulator at Ford, at VIR, and see how close it was when you go do the actual thing. So I can report that we can't really write about that until the finale race, Petit Le Mans, but I can report that everybody who drove the Ford GT, the priceless Ford GT, they were able to drive it onto the trailer at the end of the day.
Oh,
and
that's good.
My friend Kevin Kennedy, the Ford PR, just... he was sweating bullets, but by the end of the day, everybody was happy. So, good day at Virginia International Raceway. And, I kind of felt bad. I felt like I was standing there, you know, holding, you know, Tommy Kendall's purse and going to get him margaritas. And, you know, I felt kind of useless. But, It was fun watching.
You know what? I got to get Tommy on the show. I don't know. I've had him on, you know, a number of times over the years, but it's like every 5 years, I'm like, hey, you need to be on the show. So yeah,
he's got a lot of stuff going. He's doing this thing called the Torque Show,
right?
Which is a live broadcast with him and Justin Bell,
right?
From the IMSA races, and I've watched them. They do 6 shows a weekend. The last one, of course, is coming up, I guess, next weekend for Petit Le Mans. But yeah, he's a funny guy. That's why I didn't mind using him, because I knew he was going to give me some good quotes, and he did.
Right on. All right, the Corvette program. They're going to be showing the new mid-engine race car already. What do you know about that?
Right. Yeah, that's coming up at the Petit Le Mans, which is the IMSA finale. All four classes, the championships, are at least technically still up in the air until the last race, which is on a Saturday. It's 10 hours long at Road Atlanta. It should be good. I think some of the races on NBC, all of it's televised, but I think they're swapping around between the network and the cable system. So keep an eye out for that. You go to IMSA.com, and you know, I'll be covering that for Auto Week and some stuff for Automobile and some stuff for Grassroots Motorsports. So mm-hmm. I'm going to be busy that weekend.
Right on. Give me just your top line thoughts of the spectatorship, if that's a word, of motorsports lately. More on television and via media versus live people in seats lately, or what's going on with that?
No, I think NASCAR is holding its own. I don't think they're dropping much more on television or in person. IndyCar has had a pretty good year. I mean, the stands, I don't know of any race where you couldn't buy a good seat. IMSA sports car, good seats still available everywhere. It's still more of a television and sport than it is a spectator sport.
Right.
Drag racing, I think drag racing is doing pretty good. They're making some rules changes. They've got some new faces. They're trying really hard. I don't think it'll ever be much bigger than it is now, but if they can hold it where it is, I think the sponsors and the sanctioning body are going to be happy.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by Brembo Brakes. Brembo, the choice of champions. We're going to have the CEO of Brembo, my friend and yours, Dan Sandberg, on in just a minute. Last
great
thing is I'm playing this song for you because you are a sexy little thing. It's from Chickenfoot again. Sexy little thing. Your story on the STI Subaru, the 209, is going to be where?
Yep. It'll be on automobilemag.com. And in Automobile, it's there right this very second.
Oh, baby! That's Stephen Cole Smith. Thank you, buddy. Happy birthday.
Thanks, buddy. Always fun, man. Thanks.
Love you. All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to my pal, Dan Sandberg, the president and CEO of Brembo Brakes, right after this. Stay with us.
Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off your purchase. Roll out in the Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger or tear up the streets in a Durango. Hurry in to your local Dodge dealer now and save. See dealer for details. Offer not available on vehicle leases. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 9/30/19. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America and around the world. World domination car talk, that's what we call it. Our show is brought to you in part by Kia and the rough and ready lineup of Kia SUVs. Kia, give it everything. Little chicken foot in the background. And Dan Sandberg joining us, the president, CEO of Brembo North America. People are like, what is Brembo? I don't know if you remember, Dan, when I was on ABC with Kelly Ripa, and me and Ryan Seacrest were talking cars, and we're like, and it's got Brembo brakes. And she goes, I don't even know. What's a Brembo? What is a Brembo?
Greatest scene in the world.
And both of us at the same time, they go, it's the best brakes in the world. And it was like, we looked at each other like, that was hilarious, right? That was fun.
Oh, yeah. We use that now for most of our promos.
That's good. Do so, I get my stipend on that, right? Right? Right?
Absolutely. Okay, absolutely.
Good.
So it's been a long time, Alan.
You know me, I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off, like a chicken foot with my head cut off. That's the music I've been playing today. I was in China, and I was at the Saleen factory, the new Saleen factory, Steve Saleen, American racer, American supercar builder. And it was funny because while I was there, they were talking about some of the cars they were going to be building. And I said to the CEO of Celine China, who is a American Chinese guy, 6'2", wouldn't mess with him, racer. I said to him, I go, are you going to use Brembo brakes on this new S1 that they're building? And him and Steve Celine were standing there. And I said, you need to know Dan Sandberg. They built a 2.5 million square foot factory to build cars in China outside of Shanghai. And first of all, my first trip to China, it was very eye-opening and enlightening. But I want to connect you with the guy that's going to be building cars, these supercars in China, because, dude, they need Brembo on these cars. You know what I mean?
They're big and beefy. They need Brembo.
That's right. So what has been going on with Brembo? Now, Frankfurt Auto Show, I missed it this year. Did you go?
I did not go. Brembo had a booth there, but I did not go because I was in Italy for almost a week before that, and then I was in Mexico the week before that, and then I was in San Francisco the week before that.
Good Lord.
So I had to go home for more underwear. So I gave up on Frankfurt this year.
I'm glad. Speaking of that, Dan, by the way, everybody, Dan Sandberg, he and I are good friends. We're pals. We talk a little irreverent here. Forgive me, but that's the way this show is. And Dan, I noticed you just kind of waded right into that. Thank you. I just want to thank you.
You're welcome.
You're not like most car company presidents of any auto aftermarket or anything. You also have your own podcast now we should tell the world about. It is called Brembo Red, and yeah, you're the host of it. And I know you've had people like Leno and on and on and on. Why would a brake company do a podcast? What's going on there?
You know, we used to do the podcast here. We still do the podcast internally for our employees. And, you know, I think when we first started doing it, maybe 3 episodes in, every month we do it, one of our employees came to us and said, you know, it'd be really great to hear from customers on the podcast. So people who are actually using our brakes, you know, from race car drivers to, as you said, Leno, head of GM, stuff like that. And at the end of the day, we started doing these interviews. And we had a couple of these interviews, and I let some people listen to them, including you, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And you said, geez, we should use that, you know? And, you know, we decided, you know what? We are all about performance. We're all about cars. We're all about, you know, we got guys, secret guys hanging around the pits and racing, right, you know, and they're there, and they got great stories and everything else. So we just took the whole podcast public. And, you know, it's not a techie thing, you know? It's just about cars, and if you want to hear what's going on behind the scenes in racing, and you want to hear from you know, guys like, you know, anywhere from Wayne Carini all the way to Jay Leno, or maybe Crutchlow from MotoGP, or Simon Pagenaud, you come on the podcast and we talk about what they're doing, and every once in a while we mention Brembo, you know, and see what they say about it.
That's the secret, is to not overdo the brand. You know that, because people.
Yeah, well, and it's not really about the brand. It's a bunch of car guys just right, like you. I'm yep, living your life now, Alan.
No, I know, and I appreciate, you know, that. Since I'm doing other things, it's nice to have to see that my friends are taking the something that I have created and trying their best to bring it to my standard. It ain't gonna work. Don't worry. I'm joking.
Well, you know, and, you know, the funny thing is, I'm gonna see you at the LA Auto Show, right? We'll have our booth at LA this year.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have you on Brembo Red. I'll turn the table.
Hey, better yet.
You.
Better yet. You're going to have your radio studio there?
Yes.
Why don't I do my show from your studio?
Oh, here we go.
Now we're talking. See, this is why we got this. This is how it works. By the way, Stephen Cole Smith was just on Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports. I know you and him were together for the launch of the all-new Corvette C8. I almost called it a Z8. I do love BMW Z8, but we're talking about a C as in cat, C8, the 8th generation of the Corvette. And I told him, literally, the last things I said before he hung up about 3 minutes ago was, you need to be on Dan Sandberg's podcast called Brembo Red. So, I mean, come on, you guys are a motorsports braking company, in essence, and he is the dean of motorsport journalism right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, we should have him on.
Yeah, you guys, you definitely know? You guys chat about that.
So what do you think of that Corvette?
Well, I personally didn't get to go because I was dealing, I have elderly parents. I was dealing with my dad and mom. And so I had to miss the doggone event. What did you think about the Corvette? I know I think your brakes are all over it, aren't they?
We do, you know, and we're offering a huge selection of colors. You know, we don't offer this many colors, I think, on really any car, you know, but you got like red, black, yellow, bright red, of course. You got to have red.
Right.
And you have a wide variety. We do that in some of the European models, and now we're doing it for Corvette. We got a great relationship with GM, and what do I think of that car? I think it is, it's an amazing car. When you look at the price point of that vehicle and what you're getting, and I mean, they are not cutting corners on this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, it's an amazing car, and it's even the way the buttons are laid out inside. You know, I was talking to Jim Campbell about it. He asked me candidly, he said, okay, honestly, what do you think of this car? And I said, you know, the attention to detail is really something on
it. Is Campbell, you know, like the head of motorsports or performance cars, or what is he now?
Yeah, Chevy Performance.
Yeah, performance. Buybrembo.com. You guys have a new store. By the way, I don't want to get away from this. Have you driven that thing yet? Come on, be honest.
I can't comment on it.
Oh, I hate you. That's so wrong. It's just...
No, I did drive it, and it's...
I
drove a test car, so, you know, it wasn't all juiced up. I've not driven the finished car yet.
No one has been able to say they've driven it. But see, when you're the president and CEO of the company that is putting the brakes, that's the horsepower to stop, kind of the reverse horsepower. When you got a lot of horsepower, you better have great brakes. Brembo, the choice of champions. Got the CEO right here, my pal Dan Sandberg. We're going to talk about this Brembo store next. It is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, visit your local Dodge dealer where they bring you performance technologies and great deals. Talking about performance, Dan, I was talking about the new Dodge Charger wide body. I'm getting ready to go drive that. I'm pretty sure there's Brembos on that thing, right?
Oh, yes. And you know what I saw yesterday?
What's that?
I was watching Chicago PD.
Yeah?
I believe they had the new Charger on there. You know, that's their undercover stuff, right? It's all Dodge. Chicago. I think they have a big SUV on there that they use and everything else. Anyway, but they drive this Charger up, and they showed this corner picture as the car drove up to the curb. Big red Brembos on there.
Yeah, that's nice. Yes. So Dan Sandberg joining us, President, CEO, Brembo North America. Brembo Brakes. Other vehicles that you may know that have Brembo brakes, for those that just they don't know about brakes, is it people are like, brakes are brake? It's like, it'd be like this. For example, Dan, I know it's you and I we're like so close. What is it saying? Too close to the trees to see the forest. You know what I mean? And it'd be like if I had a sponsor, which I'm very particular about my sponsors, but if I talked about the best radiator hose, right? To some people, a radiator hose is a radiator hose. And that may be true in the world of radiator hoses until you go like to, you know, racing. And then, of course, when you're racing, you better have a radiator hose that doesn't just blow off when the car's, you know, doing 300 miles an hour or whatever it's going to do. So even in the world of racing, everything has to be to the highest level. So when people hear me talking about Brembo brakes, there's a reason for this. It's the brakes to the highest level. And the braking company that this we're talking to, Brembo, is that. So when you're thinking about buying a performance car like a Porsche or a Ferrari or even the new GT500, which is a V8 supercharged, fantastic vehicle. I'm about to go drive one of those as well at the racetrack. Big, gigantic wheels, 20-inch aluminum wheels. You better have some big, fat, meaty brakes on there. Brembo, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, it's life and death, you know.
Yeah, right.
Those cars go super fast, and if they get out of control or you got to get into a corner and you want to go deep into that corner, you got to have a brake that's going to stop the vehicle, you know. You don't want to go sliding through that corner,
right? So when you're working with these auto manufacturers, Dodge, General Motors, Ford Motor Company, Ferrari, Lamborghini. I mean, you name all the names that are out there that use the company. How involved do you guys work with the actual engineers? Because this is part of the OEM, original equipment manufacturer product now. So you must have to work directly with the engineering, right?
No. Day to day. I mean, it's from the ground up.
Okay.
And you have to. I mean, you know, we start out with what we call a package. You know, what's the packaging?
Right.
Which is just sizing. And then you go from there. Then they tell us, you know, how many G's they're going to be throwing out on a stop. They tell us how much room they have. They tell us, you know, whether they're going to be using it for track or just track days or just some crazy man like, you know, Alan Taylor on the street. And then you have to build that brake. And people don't realize how difficult it is to design a brake for the original equipment guys. You know, when you're racing, nobody really cares if the brake makes a lot of noise, right? I mean, because you can't hear it over those engines anyway,
right?
But when you got a car that you're driving day to day, it's got to be super high performing, but it's got to be quiet.
All right,
right? So you don't want to hear squealing and screeching.
Exactly. So that's one problem. The other problem is, in the same vein, as the world changes, there's more and more SUVs, and people are buying more and more trucks than ever, and they still want, because in the SUVs you have Lexus and you have General Motors with Cadillac, and in even, you know, the Silverado trucks and all the different Suburbans, the big vehicles. And I have to imagine you guys are doing more in that world, but I don't know that
we are, because you don't. They want those to drive like sedans, right?
Right.
You don't want to be sitting at the light, you know, and everybody pulls away from you. And, you know, that used to be the old SUVs, right? They didn't move. Now those SUVs are 400, 500, 600 horsepower.
Right.
And they jump right off that line. And it's even worse because now you can load them up with all your stuff and it weighs a lot and it goes fast. And now you need a big brake for that.
Add to that, you and I have been talking about this for what, probably a decade now. That we bought a Lincoln Navigator years ago. Jesse James from Monster Garage, of which, you know, that show's been off the air. I mean, it's still on the air, but he hasn't made one in years and years and years. He gave me a set of Jesse James wheels, which I put on my wife's car. The first thing that happens is it felt like the brakes weren't even working. So we upgraded and got some aftermarket stuff, worked with you at the time. And now I understand that you guys, with this whole Brembo.com, buybrembo.com, the store, you're also working with retailers like Jegs. So that's where people buy performance parts. Because if you put bigger wheels and tires on your SUV, you are going to change the physics of the stopping of that vehicle. I got about a minute.
Absolutely.
Don't go long on me because I'm going to take a break. I'll give you a little more time. But talk about that for a sec.
Well, you know, we deal with GM right now, and they had exactly the situation you're talking about. A lot of truck guys saying, hey, I'm hauling a lot of stuff. I want some great brakes. I want a lot of horsepower. And you know what? I want my pickup to look good. So, you know, we ended up making a special kit, which now goes on all the way back to 2014. If you got a Silverado, Sierra,
right.
You know, if you have some kind of light duty pickup like a Tahoe, Suburban, Yukon XL. And even the Cadillac Escalade, like you talked about, you know, I don't want to say that you helped us get there, but those kits we were doing back then were showing up on TV.
And that's what happens, because the aftermarket will, you know, request this from you. And then you're like, man, everybody's doing this. And now the OEM's starting to do it, making big wheeled tire packages. Let me take a little break. We'll come back with more and talk about Brembo Brakes with my friend Dan Sandberg. Brembo, it's a website, buy Brembo, B-U-Y, buybrembo.com. And you can, yes, you can even get them through Jegs. We'll be right back. It's The Drive. The state of affairs and the state of emotion, the kind of thing that you must understand. I'll tell you one thing to tell me. Over the years, automakers have spent a lot of time talking about the future. At Kia, they don't sit around dreaming of a better tomorrow, because they already made it, so that you can have it today. Introducing Kia's lineup of electrified Niro SUVs, the hybrid, the plug-in, and the electric, with an EPA estimated range of 239 miles. Because the future is just the future until we make something of it. Kia, give it everything. 239-mile EPA estimated range on a full charge. Actual range may vary. Niro EV is in select retailers and select markets with limited availability. Listen listening to The Drive all across America and around the world. Cars, car guys talking cars, motorsports, SUVs, trucks, all the new stuff. Dan Sandberg joining us. He is the president of Brembo, one of our sponsors, one of my friends. Brembo, the choice of champions, and I've worked with Dan for about a decade. You don't see this company do much advertising. They do not have to. They are, you know, you stand in line, in essence. If you want to get something from Brembo, you got a race team, whether it's even this Formula E, the electric racing cars these days. I think I read a little something about you guys being like the exclusive break for the electric car racing.
Have you been to a race yet or not?
I know. I've heard all kinds of crazy stuff. Some people hate it. Some people love it. And it's interesting. It's very polarizing. It's like some of the big motorsports journalists that are like, you would never think these guys, because they're old school, they're like, that's the craziest thing you ever saw in your life, you know?
It is amazing. You know, it's a whole different strategy. Some of these cars, if you really go crazy, you know, you don't have no choice. You run out of power. You know?
Right.
So it's very, very strategic. It's not as quiet as they think it is.
I know, right?
And it is just as fast as it should be.
That's wild.
Let me put it to the that way. Yeah. I mean, anybody who's driven an electric car, you know, whether it's a Tesla or a Bolt, those cars are fast off the line.
What about supercars when it comes to these, you know, like Porsche's coming out with a new electric, you know, you got, you know, Audi, everybody's got these electric things. What are you guys doing in that world? I mean, obviously you're the Formula E, so you must be in there.
Large, big brake packages, because these cars have tremendous torque. I mean, we've put some of the largest systems on some of these electric cars, 10 piston calipers.
What?
You know, that is a big, big caliper.
Did you have to develop that? I didn't even know that existed.
You know, what is going on now, that you cannot say that Brembo is just sitting still. You know, we are designing calipers now using these optimization strategy that we use, kind of a technical word,
right?
But we're using computers now. They're analyzing the entire caliper to get weight out, because, you know, when you're using electricity, it's all about battery power and mileage also, if they're hybrid vehicles,
right?
And the less weight, the better. And of course, they're racing guys or performance vehicles, so you want weight out. So lightweighting is a great thing, but we are taking out as much weight as possible, but still maintaining the integrity of the caliper so you can get a great stop. And what's happening is the calipers are starting to look very, very weird.
Interesting. You know,
almost look like spider webs, aluminum spider webs over your wheels. You know, the designs are fantastic. They're very, very high tech. We just showed a caliper at the Frankfurt Auto Show. It's called the Diadema caliper. And it looks, you know, kind of unique, but it has some interesting features on it, like an airflow cooling duct that kind of hangs off the caliper inside to suck the air in. Because, as you know, heat is the enemy of a brake.
Right.
So this actually actively goes and gets air and scoops it into the caliper. But what it looks like is very, very odd. And again, matches a lot of the vehicles, which are pretty high tech looking themselves.
What did you call that brake? What was it?
Diadema.
Oh, I had one of those on the side of my neck one time. It's very painful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But it was very cool, though, wasn't it? Because it.
You didn't think I was going to go there, did you?
No, I didn't.
That's funny. Well, congratulations on all the success. I know I've been watching it for years, and right down to my wife's little Fiat 500 Abarth, we have Brembo as much as we can. Glad to see you're doing all this work with the big SUVs, the Cadillac Escalades, and the GM Yukons and Suburbans and things like that. And the Chevy, did you say heavy duty or light duty or both?
Well, it's really, you know, it's some of the Yukon XL, so they're pretty big. But it's all the standard GM, you know, big light duty to medium duty pickup trucks and SUVs. You can get the kit.
Okay,
you can go GM Performance. You can buy them there. You can buy them at Jegs, and it's a great thing.
So what about buybrembo.com? You're saying Jegs, but is there two different kind of things
going on? Buybrembo.com is a great place to go because that's our store for replacement rotors and pads.
Right.
So, you know, it's real easy to go on that site. But, you know, you pick out your automobile, buy your components. They'll ship them directly to you or to your shop, and you can put them on. And those are OE replacement, and they're great stuff. But some of the specialty stuff, you want a retailer or a website like GM Performance. You know, you want to make sure you're getting exactly what you need for the car you have. Putting a caliper on is a little more complicated than putting rotors and pads in.
Sure.
So you want to go to some specialty sites. So if you have a tuner or you have a garage, they know where to go to get the kits.
Right on. Buy Brembo.com or check out Jegs for some of the GM stuff we were talking about, or GM parts, actually. Dan Sandberg, thank you, brother.
And I want to get you on Brembo Red, all right?
I'll do it. I mean, you know me. No, I got a lot of Brembo
iTunes
stories.
That's, you know, right. You can be legit.
Okay. Brembo Red on iTunes. Dan's the host of that podcast, and he's a good friend of mine. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Alan.
All right. That's about it for this week. You wait till you see what happens next week. More good car talk on The Drive. See you then.
The big news from Subaru is the three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.